Well, I would appreciate your prayers. The Lord would bless His word this evening. I'm thankful to be here again, be able to be here in the meeting. I'd like to share with you something the Lord's been talking to me about, shared some of these thoughts with the congregation in Vanceburg. The Lord believed would have me to share some of this with you this evening. I'd like to pick up in the 36th chapter of Psalms, pick up a little bit on the thought that was brought out right before prayer. Psalms 36 and the 7th verse says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." This tells me of a picture that's portrayed of living for the Lord that is not one of scarcity. Although it involves self-denial, it is not one that is just barren and destitute of pleasure or of joy, as the enemy would try to portray. The enemy is a liar. He engages in deceptive advertising. It's the only kind he knows. The only kind he's ever been able to peddle is the only way he can sell his goods is to represent it as something that it's really not, and to represent the things of God as something that they really are not. And so the enemy tries throughout time, from the beginning still to today, to try to cast the ways of God in a light that is not accurate. In a light that says, if you live for the Lord, you might as well just buckle up and accept you're giving up a whole lot. But I want us to realize from this that there is something in living for the Lord that is an abundance that brings with it pleasure and joy. Yeah. Written on the board, the words, the pursuit of happiness. Words that are familiar to us in the founding of our nation, enshrined in the Declaration of Independence, of a people who longed to be free and who said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Well, of course it's something that people want. Have you ever heard somebody say, "I just really don't want to be happy"? Well, they might say, "I don't think that'll give me happiness. I don't think that'll make me happy." But I don't know of very many people who say, "I just hate being happy." It is a pursuit of mankind. And it was realized as that in the founding of our nation, that there be a place where mankind can be free to pursue their own happiness without a dictatorial force trying to tell you what that is or what you're allowed to pursue. You know, the Lord has come to give us freedom as well. And living for the Lord is exactly that. It is freedom from the bondage that would keep us from realizing the full potential of our soul and of our lives, that is realized only in Jesus Christ. The bonds of sin prevent us from ever being able to reach that, or realize that potential, or feel and experience the happiness that comes through serving God alone. You can't do it through the veil of sin and the chains of sin. But thank the Lord He came to give us a freedom and a deliverance that we might be able to not only pursue, but obtain happiness. The pursuit of happiness. Do you think the Lord wants us to be happy? Well, how do we know that? I think the evidence is pretty abundant. You know, whenever I look at the creation of this world, and I think of how it could have been, you know, it tells me that the Lord created this world for our enjoyment. Even those who would say we somehow who have the faith to believe that we came here through random chance over the course of billions of years have a hard time explaining the purpose of color and the beauty of the detail of creation. It doesn't really serve any purpose except for our enjoyment. You know, the Lord could have created this world as barren as the moon or the surface of Mars, and yet He created it with such lush beauty. For what purpose? To what end? Is it not for us to be able to look out and say, wow, what beauty God created? I believe the Lord did it for our enjoyment and to worship and praise Him, because that's really what we're here for. And then He created the animals and brought him by Adam to see what he would name them. I wonder what Adam will think of this one. I wonder what he's going to call that one. I believe that they had everything that could be desired in the garden. But this pursuit of happiness has eluded people throughout time. They've pursued it. They thought they've had it. And yet it's been out of reach for so many people throughout their lives. Well, what brings it? How do you get it? This idea of being happy. The world has their ideas of what happiness is. We heard this morning about stuff. You know, a lot of people's happiness is wrapped up in their stuff. Jesus addressed that and said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Life is so much more than that. People derive much happiness out of the latest devices. For those that enjoy electronics, the latest release of the newest smartphone or whatever the device is, they anticipate it. They sometimes stand in line for it or camp in line for it. For this sense of happiness that they get of unboxing. And you know that's a thing. Unboxing, marketing departments of companies invest a lot of money in the packaging of devices. It's not just to keep it from being scratched and protected in shipping. They want to present something that whenever you open it, it has a wow factor. It has something that brings enjoyment even in opening the box. Well, you can order, as the face of commerce has changed so much in our world, a lot of it done online, and you can order it and it'll be at your door 2 days, 1 day, same day in some cases. And you can even track where the delivery driver is. My happiness is 7 stops away. And I say that a little lightly, but people find great enjoyment, great happiness out of things. Out of being able to receive that package or that latest device. People enjoy unboxing so much they'll watch videos of it. It's a cheaper way to do it. But you can watch somebody else unboxing something. And there's such an idea of happiness around that, that you can experience someone else's happiness. You know, salvation doesn't have to be that way. You know, you can come, and I hope you do. I'm thankful that every one of you are here tonight. But you don't have to come and just watch me enjoy my salvation. You don't have to come and just listen to everyone else rejoicing and worshiping the Lord. You can experience it as well. Oh, isn't it fleeting, the happiness that comes with unboxing the latest device? And then with the speed of technology and the advancement of the next device, it's not very long before it's outdated and newer features are released that mine doesn't have. And there's this sense to some people that until I get that feature, I don't quite have it made. And in this world, this society that we heard about this morning that is so materialistic, happiness is wrapped up far too much in things, in external things. Well, if I just had the money, if I was just able to buy that thing, it's because I don't have what the neighbors have. Well, if I only had the popularity of people around me that I work with, or if I had their respect, that would bring happiness. Does it work for, and you just assess this for yourself. Has it worked for Hollywood? Has it worked for the celebrities?
No.
I think that's the proper answer. Far over and over and over again, you see that there's just emptiness and brokenness, and money didn't get it, fame didn't get it, popularity didn't get it. There's still something else. Some people talk about their happy place. Well, the mountains are my happy place. You know, the Lord wants us to enjoy again His creation. But happiness isn't in a place. Remember, whenever we bought a place out in the country a number of years ago, and the family that sold it to us said, "We hope you find peace out here." And it was a peaceful setting, but it kind of took us aback because we thought, we're not buying this to find peace. I've already got peace. I don't expect that in a place or in a thing. I'd like to consider Ecclesiastes, the second chapter. Solomon was granted desire of his heart for wisdom, but along with it, he was granted prosperity. The second chapter of Ecclesiastes said, "I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity." He said, in the fourth verse, "I made me great works. I builded houses, planted vineyards, made gardens and orchards, and planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made pools of water to water the wood that bringeth forth the trees. I got servants and maidens, gathered silver and gold and all the peculiar treasures, singers." And he said, "Whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor." And this was the portion of all my labor. But it says that he looked on all of these works that his hand had gotten him, and the conclusion at the end of it all is that it's vanity. It's emptiness. It didn't buy it for me. It didn't achieve the fulfillment, the happiness that I thought it would. Think about what the Lord said to His people through the prophet Haggai. He said, "How long will you live in your sealed houses? And my house is laying over here waste." He said, "You look to bring in much, and you brought in little, because I blew on it. The things that you thought would surely bring you the greatest increase and fulfillment, it's just not bringing it to you. Because I'm blowing on it." Folks, you take the Lord out of the equation of your life and you're not going to find it. It's not going to work. It's not going to add up and bring happiness. And the happiness that it brings, the happiness of the world, is slow, so fleeting. And Moses had a picture of that. Whenever the Scripture says of Moses that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, for a little bit of time. Isaiah, the 29th chapter. Isaiah 29 and 8, it says, "This shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth. But he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh. And he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. To take a way other than the Lord's way is like this picture of a man who is dreaming. He's hungry, he's faint, he hadn't eaten in a long time, and he's dreaming, and it's right there. Oh, everything that he could want is right there. And he's eating and enjoying it, but then he wakes up. It's not there. That's like the dreams of this world. It is a mirage. The promise of happiness, the promise of fulfillment that this world offers is like a mirage that appears right there. If you just get the next device, if you just purchase that car or that home, or if you can only, it'll be right there. And I get there and I do it and I buy it and it's not there. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty still. The world has advice for you. Follow your dreams. Whatever your heart wants, go and get it. In Ecclesiastes it says, rejoice. Rejoice, O young man, the 11th chapter and the 9th verse, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Well, the first part of that the world wholeheartedly adopts. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. The Lord wants us to enjoy life. I am convinced of that. The Lord wants us to experience happiness in our lives. I don't believe the experience of living for the Lord is just coming and sitting in a straitjacket, a stuffy experience. I can't do all of this because of what the church is going to think. If that's my idea of what serving the Lord is, oh, He wants to open up so much more to our understanding and our mind, that there is a river of pleasure that we can drink from abundantly, that'll satisfy us, that'll bring a happiness that the world cannot afford. The world can't give us. The world says, if there are people that make you unhappy, cut them out of your life. You know the Lord has a recipe for happiness. And it's not the ways of the world. Think about that Garden of Eden that we talked about. The Lord planted right in the midst of it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of all that the Lord had given Adam and Eve to enjoy, it was everything they needed. Not just to satisfy the basic necessities, but there was all kinds of fruit and flowering trees and plants and beauty and abundance for their enjoyment. But isn't it just like the heart of man to say the one thing that I don't have? Well, why not? Why can't I have that? Well, I'm not going to be happy until I get that. You said I can't have it. Well, doesn't the Lord want us to be happy? And you ever hear people say, well, God wants me to be happy. And so, whatever makes me happy, that's what God wants. The Lord is the author of happiness. The Lord knows what it takes to achieve happiness. And He also knows what brings destruction and death. And He warned Adam and Eve. He said, don't eat of that. Not because I want to just withhold from you. Not because I want you to just have to feel the pain of doing without. But I know what will happen if you do it. I know that it's deceptive fruit. I know that it'll bring death. I know that it'll bring separation. It's not what you want. So don't eat of it. You know, that's why the Lord says don't touch still today. People will say, well, how could God send, a loving God send someone to hell? And the Lord's doing all that He can, saying, I know what'll send you there. Don't go there. Don't touch that. Don't partake of that in your life. I know it glitters and I know it shines. But I've got the source of happiness right here. Don't indulge in those things that'll leave you broken and empty. Ahab. King Ahab had everything he needed and almost everything that he wanted. But he looked out and there was one plot of land that he could see, and it didn't belong to him. It belonged to Naboth, and he had his vineyard there, and it didn't matter all the abundance of everything that he had. He wasn't satisfied until he had that too. And if we don't learn contentment in Christ, folks, we'll never be satisfied. It doesn't matter how much or the abundance of it, the next thing that I don't have will rob from me the joy of what I do have. And so leave me empty and hungry and longing for something and not satisfied by anything. And so Ahab looked out and he saw that, and he went home and pouted. And he turned his face to the wall and he wouldn't talk and he wouldn't eat until Jezebel came along. Honey, what's wrong? Ahab, grow up. That's not what you need. But man thinks, I know what I need. I know what I want. I know what will bring me happiness. And it's that thing that I don't have. And so she said, oh, you can have it. And you know, the Lord still today says, the thing that your heart's reaching out after, you can have it. But he pleads. And he sends the voice of wisdom to cry and say, it's not found in that. Yes. I put the tree in the garden so you could choose. But I want you to experience the abundance of what I have for you, to realize I don't even need that. And that's why the Lord wants us to taste in His salvation. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good to those that'll follow Him and those that'll take His ways. It's liberating to the soul. You have to taste of it to experience it for yourself. The prodigal son had everything that he needed in Father's house. And yet I'm led to believe from the story that his heart began to go out. And his eyes began to search the horizon and wonder about this wide world that he had never experienced. And he said, I want something more. You know, we can experience the same thing when we're growing up, especially those of us that were born and raised Church of God, the saints, camp meetings, and it's all I've ever known. And I begin to see, you know, there's a big wide world out there that I haven't experienced. How am I to know? How am I to say that this is truly the best thing? All the voice of wisdom cries out and says, you don't have to go down the path of brokenness and emptiness and destruction only to experience, I made a fatal mistake. I shouldn't have left. But the prodigal son felt that it's got to be out there. And so he took what was his and he went and he wasted and spent it and finally came to himself when he had nothing. And he came back to Father's house. And I fear that there are too many today whose hearts are wandering, whose desires are going out. And you know, there is an experience of salvation, of trying to live saved that isn't real fulfilling. If you don't really taste, if you don't really give yourself to it, going through a form isn't very fulfilling. It's not very satisfying. Doing things because the saints expect it doesn't bring a whole lot of happiness. But I'm going to tell you, if you fall in love with Jesus and you experience the love of God and get that down in your heart, there's something that'll fix. I believe a song said, your love fixed my roving heart. And the Lord has that for each one of us. It's not in the things the world promises. But think about that choice that's set before us, everyone. It was set before Cain and Abel. And the Lord told Cain, whose heart was not perfect before him, he said, Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. But if you don't, sin lies at the door. Cain, the choice is yours. It's not your brother that's the reason of your lack of happiness. You know how many people pin the emptiness that's inside them on somebody else? It's my wife. And people pursue happiness from the outside in, when that's not how happiness is achieved. It is unreasonable to go into marriage, for example, an unhappy person, and expect my spouse to fulfill that happiness. You'll do just like the world, and there'll come a time when I say, I'm not happy. You're not making me feel happy here. So I'm going to go find somebody that does make me feel happy. Folks, there is a happiness that is so much deeper than what the world pursues after. Amen. That is a fleeting emotional feeling or an emotional high that I have to do something else. Is it not, in a sense, like drugs? I've got to do something else. I've got to buy something else. I've got to have another experience to be able to maintain this emotional high that I call happiness. There is a happiness that doesn't depend on the way other people treat you. Well, that's easier to say than to experience. But the scripture says, when you are reproached for my sake, happy are ye. Reproach? Whenever I'm ridiculed and I'm mocked and I'm cast out and I'm not a part and I'm ostracized and all that, happy are you. Not, he said, don't let it be because of your own fault. But if it's because you're living for the Lord, there's a happiness there that people can't take away from you. They can't rob it from you. They can't steal it from you. That's a happiness that the world can't give. Again, the Lord said unto Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. And I'd like to get with that another scripture here in Ecclesiastes, found in the 9th chapter. 9 and 7 of Ecclesiastes, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Now we're getting to where real happiness is found. It's not in the acceptance of the world. It's not in their praise. If we live our lives, be it from an inferiority complex, from insecurities, if we live our lives with the view of what other people think about me, and I base my happiness, my belonging, my worth on that, it is an elusive dream. It's something that I'll be chasing all over to try to obtain it. But whenever our worth and our value and our happiness is found in the Lord accepting our works, folks, there is something about being able to lay your head down at night and know that all is well. To know that I'm at peace with God. When the noise and the music and the parties and the lights are dimmed and all of that is out, and people feel empty, there's something so much more valuable. To be able to lay asleep with the last words of my mouth at night, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness today. You remember what Jesus told the disciples? They came back to him rejoicing because the devils were subject unto them through Jesus' name. He said, don't rejoice in this, but rather rejoice because why? Your names are written in heaven. That is a cause of rejoicing And if our names are written in heaven, who has given the eraser? Is it my cantankerous neighbor? Is it my boss? There is a happiness that is anchored on the other side of the veil, that is anchored in heaven. He said, don't lay your treasures up here where rust and moth doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but over there. And great will be your reward or your treasure in heaven. There's something counterintuitive in this. The world that says the more I can accumulate unto myself, the happier I'll be. But Jesus told a rich young ruler who came to him, rich, young, and a ruler, and said, what do I still lack? There's something my riches have not been able to buy me. There's something my authority has not been able to command. What is it? What do I lack? And Jesus didn't tell him the next big business venture for him to add to his wealth. Counterintuitive. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Well, what's that going to do for me? It'll bring a happiness for you that you've never known. That is the one thing that you lack. Like to look at a scripture in Psalms 37. Psalms 37 and 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Here it is. Here's where you find it. I want to encourage us tonight. Don't just play around the periphery. Don't just dip your feet in the waters. Launch out into the deep and find what the Lord has for you. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Let that be the object of what you're pursuing after, and see what the Lord will do for you. And Jesus said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And all these other things will be added to you. It's like Solomon, whenever he said, Lord, my desire, if I have one thing that I can have, Lord, it's that you would give me wisdom to be able to rule this thy people. Lord, I want to be able to be pleasing to you. And the Lord added all this other stuff. We don't do this for the loaves and the fishes, but I want to tell you, the Lord has loaves and fish. The Lord knows how to meet our needs. He knows how to satisfy the longing of our heart. He knows how to fill a place of loneliness in our heart that no friend or group of peers can ever fill. There is a happiness in living for the Lord. And I pray tonight that, I pray that we're tasting of it. But if you're not, I pray that you get a little bit of a vision of it. Psalms 144. The 15th verse, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. The Lord's got the recipe for us. Happy is the people who make the Lord not the gods of this world, not exalting the God of myself, but whose God is the Lord. Psalms 128. I want to get a few glimpses of what David, I believe, had a glimpse of. Blessed, 128 and 1. Blessed, or how happy is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Happy shalt thou be. I believe one of the Psalms says, blessed are they that know the joyful sound. Do you know the joyful sound? Have you experienced and are you tasting tonight of the joys of salvation? If that's leaked out, the world has joys that they'll offer. And the less fulfilled I am in my experience of salvation, the more attractive that will appear unto me. All taste and see that the Lord is good. Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to have a vision of the real value of things, of where our happiness is truly found. That scripture goes on to say, but happy is the man, I believe, that keepeth the law of the Lord. That's where our happiness is found. Scripture says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. The pleasures of sin that endure for a little bit, it has a sting with it. It's one song we sing says, coiled under roses of pride. There's something under there that'll sting. But the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It maketh happy. It maketh fulfilled and adds no sorrow with it. Psalms, the 16th chapter. Psalm 16 and 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I want to be there. I want to experience at his right hand and in his presence the fullness of joy. That's not tinged or negated or undermined in any way by sorrow or grief or heartache or pain or suffering or any of that, but in eternal bliss and happiness that never ends. Again, the happiness of this world that is found in trying to create the ideal environment around me doesn't last long. It doesn't work. But what we're talking about is eternal. And it's not just waiting for us over there. It is. But we get to experience it right here. We get to experience the joy of salvation, the happiness and blessing of living for the Lord right here. Because His presence is not just confined to heaven. But we can each one taste of and experience His presence every day in difficulty and when things are going well. At night and in the day, when the sun's shining and when it's cloudy out, when LSU wins and when LSU loses. My happiness isn't based on that. I don't have to wait for that to try to maintain some high. My Lord never loses. And my happiness is anchored to Him. Amen. In His presence is the fullness of joy. How much time have you spent there? Are you walking in that place? The shininess of this doesn't have to dull over time. The features of this salvation don't become outdated. There's not going to be an updated version released because it doesn't need any update. It still works the way it was perfectly designed from the beginning. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day when we are face to face in His presence in the fullness of joy. But even right here, right now, we're able to experience that. Let's close in the book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter. I am thankful that this happiness, it's not just some euphoric, out of reach idea or theory. But I've been hearing the testimonies of it sung in the songs and in your voices, even in this meeting, in the testimonies that we hear of God's people. It's not dependent on having a bubble that's just right for us. The Lord makes us happy right in the face of our persecutors. Right in the face, what did David say? Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. At the time when I ought to least be able to think about sitting down and enjoying a feast, Lord, you prepare for me even in the face of my enemies. a feast. And the Lord has a spiritual experience like that, that we can feast in His presence regardless of the environment or the conditions. And thank God. Because we live in a broken world. We live in a world where this experiment has not been going very well. Pursuing happiness. When people say, well, but if I can just be who I think I am, I'll be happy. If I can just have whatever I want, I'll be happy. And the result is broken homes and marriages and society that's crumbling. But in all of that, when people are struggling to try to find what'll fix the brokenness, I know that depression is a real thing. But I want to tell you a good antidote. It's not found in a pill. It's found in what I'd like to read here. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Oh, what an exchange. What a bargain. Remember that Cash for Clunkers program they had? For a while, you bring in your old broken down car and they'll give you $2,000, $3,000 or whatever, regardless of the value. You see here what we get for our brokenness and our ashes and our spirit of heaviness and oppression that this world has so widely succumbed to. He has the oil of joy. He has the garments of praise for us to clothe ourselves with, to anoint ourselves with. David found himself in a place, that same psalmist who wrote these psalms of experiencing the joys of the Lord, found himself in a place that he wasn't experiencing them so much. And he said, Lord, restore unto me the joys of Thy salvation. He had sinned against God, and he had cut himself off from that source, from that stream that flows with happiness. And he remembered it, and he longed for it. And his prayer, you can read about it there, is 53rd, 51st Psalms, whichever it is. And part of that prayer was, Lord, restore it. Restore unto me the joy. So I know what it tastes like. Lord, I see it maybe in others. Lord, I've lost it. You know, tonight, if you have lost the joy of salvation, if you're pursuing happiness in the wrong places, you know the Lord knows how to restore it. It is found in the Lord, and it still flows tonight. It is still available tonight. It still works tonight. If we'll come. Whosoever will come. And you know, that's what the Bible closes out with. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Let him come. You look at Isaiah 55 and say, why do you spend money for that which isn't bread and that which doesn't satisfy? You're spending and spending and spending your money, your time, the years of your life, trying to achieve something that you never really achieve. Why do you do that? It doesn't really satisfy the needs of your soul. Let him that is athirst come. Come to the source of true soul happiness that this world can't afford. You pray for me. Amen.